Welcome to Linux in a Shell, Episode 7, Unix File Permissions and the chmod command. My name is Dan Washko. I'll be your host. And to start off, I'd like to thank Hacker Public Radio for hosting the website and these audio files. And remember, if you have not read the website entry for Episode 7 at linuxinashell.org, I encourage you to do so after listening to this audio to solidify the command in your mind and to watch the example video. Okay, Unix file permissions, or Linux file permissions, because they're pretty much the same thing, operate on three basic permissions: read, write, and execute. And those permissions are applied to three different levels. They're applied to the owning user, the owning group, and the everybody else. So let's start by talking about the permissions. And when I talk about permissions on files, I'm talking about specifically files, not directories. In the Unix world, pretty much everything is a file, even a directory, although a directory is a special type of file. There is a differentiation between how permissions are applied to files and to directories, which I'll cover in just a second. But at the level of a file, the three permissions, read, write, and execute, operate in this manner. Read permission allows you to open a file and look at the contents of a file, and look at the doing an ls-l command allow you to see the permission, the different aspects of the file. So with read, you can open a file and look at the contents and its information. With a write permission allows you to alter or create a file, allows you to alter the contents of a file, to delete a file if you want to. So it allows you to change that file is what it does. And finally, the execute bit allows you to execute a file, and whether it's a shell script or a binary or whatever, allows you, gives you permission to run that file as a program or as a shell script. Those permissions differ for a directory, though. Now, the read permission on a directory means that you have the ability or permission to read any files in that directory that you have permissions to read explicitly on those files. But it doesn't allow you to list the contents or to actually see those files in that directory, so to speak. To do that, you need the executable bit on a directory. Now, the executable bit gives you two things. It allows you to list the contents of a directory and allows you to change into or CD into that directory. So if you had a directory called My Directory and you had read but not execute, and you issued ls/my directory, you would get permission denied. But if you had a file in there called test, and you did ls, the name of the my directory/test, you'd be able to see that file. If you wanted to open it with the less command, you can type les/my file/test and open it. But you cannot view it by lsing the directory, nor can you use a wildcard into that directory to open that file. So basically, understand that on a directory, if you want to be able to list the contents of the directory, and if you want to be able to change into the contents of the directory or to use a wildcard inside the directory, you need the executable permission on there. Read only allows you to look at a file specifically that you have ownership to look at to begin with. You have to name that file in there. Okay. Also, with read on a directory and execute on a file, you could execute the file so long as you specify the name of it. All right. You don't need the execute bit on a directory. Execute bit on a directory only gives you the ability to list all the files in the directory or to change into the directory. Be aware of that. Now, write permission on a directory operates a little differently than it does on a file. It can override the write permission on a file. So if you have write capabilities to a directory and you want to alter a file in that directory that you don't have write permissions to, it will ask you, say, hey, you don't really have write permissions to this file. Are you sure you want to do this? To which you have to answer yes. Or if you're like in the VI or Vim and you're trying to edit a file in there that you don't have, you'll have to provide the bang to the write option that explicitly say, okay, do that. So that's what write does on a directory as opposed to on a file. With that cleared out, these permissions are applied at the owning user, the owning group, and all others. So for a single file or directory, there are three sets of permissions. One for the owning user, one for the owning group, and run for all others. So you can specify permissions at user level, group owning group level, and for everyone else. Now there are three special permissions in Linux, and these special permissions are called set user ID bit, set group ID bit, and set sticky bit. And the way that these work in Linux may differ from other flavors of Unix, but I believe how they work in Linux and BSD are pretty much the same thing. The set user ID and set group ID bit allow you to, these are mainly for executing an application or a script, a program or a script. What that does is, if you're going to execute that, you execute it, and it's executed as either the owning user or the owning group. All right. So if the set user ID bit is on a file and you run that and you have the executable ability to that, when you run that, it'll run as the owning user. And if it's set at the group level, it will run as the owning group. You used to have to do this. I forget what the which one it was, but there used to be some old Samba directory browsing utilities or GUI-based Samba applications that I believe required you to set some of the Samba stuff as set UID bit on the root user, so that when you executed the Samba command, that the GUI application required and ran Samba stuff as the root user, so you can mount Samba directories and stuff. I think that was long ago. That was back in the day. Now the set sticky bit allows you to what that does is, when you set the sticky bit on a directory, that what that does is override the directory execute or write option. What that does is, any file in there, you can only delete that file if you are the owner. If you are not the owner, you cannot delete or alter that file when the sticky bit is set on a directory. And I guess I didn't specify this, I'm going to say it now. Generally, the sticky bit is set on directories, not on files, but generally on directories. And a great example is the temp directory. So if you do an ls-ld/tmp and look at the values on your temp directory, it'll come back and report the values as being read-write execute, read-write execute, read-write t, and the sticky bit is set for all others on that directory. So even though you have read-write execute capabilities in that directory, you can't delete a file that is owned by somebody else. So that overrides like the directory write bit in that case. Little information there about specifying the ls-l command. When you're looking at that to view a file's permissions or a directory's permissions, you'll notice that you'll get read-write-x, 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 or some derivation in there. If you don't have the permission, it's just a dash. And those three sets, that's 12. That's 9 columns right there, those 3 sets. But you'll notice there's one leftmost column that could be a dash, a D, or some other letter. That's telling you the type of file that you're looking at, the type of file, whether it's just a file as a regular dash, whether it's a directory as a D, there's character file, which is a C. So understand what that means, that leftmost column right there, that first column that you're looking at. All right, so now we kind of have a better understanding of the Linux file permissions. What if you need to change them? That's done by using the chmod command, or some people call it chmod, or chmod command, however you want to say it. Basically, the chmod command is short for changing the mode bit. So it's changing the permission bit. Very simple command to use. Takes 2 parameters. One is the permissions that you want to set, and the second one is where you want to set those permissions, be it a file, group of files, or directory. Now, there are 2 ways that you can specify the permissions. One is in symbolic mode, which is probably the easiest for new users, and the other one is in octal mode, which is my preferred mode, is not that difficult to use and is a little more short form or precise, I think. Not that symbolic mode isn't precise, but we'll cover octal mode in just a minute. So I had specified that there are 3 groups: user, owning group, and all others. That's UGO. We specify U equals owning user, G equals owning group, and O equals all others. There's a fourth way that you can specify, and that's A for all or everyone. So it's UGOA is what to remember. U for user, you owning user, G for owning group, O for others, and A for everyone. All right, so you specify that by passing to it in symbolic mode one of those values, U, G, O, A, and then either using equals, plus, or minus, and then the permissions. So then if you wanted to specify the owner has all permissions, it would be chmod U equals rewrite RWX, and then the file. Now again, R equals read, W equals write, X equals executable. I don't think I specified that in the beginning. R equals read, W equals write, X equals executable. So again, to give the owning user all permissions, read, write, and execute, it's chmod U equals RWX, and then name of the file. Now, if you wanted to specify all three different group permissions, for instance, owning user, you wanted to give all permissions, group, you only wanted to give read and execute, and all other users just read, it would be U equals RWX, comma, G equals RX, comma, O equals R. That would give owning user all rewrite and execute permissions, owning group, read and execute permissions, and all others just read permissions. Now you can specify, instead of equals, you can add or subtract permissions by specifying like U plus R asterisk dot log would give the owner read permissions to all the log files if they already didn't have it. Sequently, you can do the same thing with the minus, which would be to remove a permission for that group. So, symbolic takes the use of UGOA, owning user, owning group, all others, or everybody, and provides one of the permissions, R equals read, W equals write, X equals execute. Now, the other special permissions I talked about, sticky bit and set UID and set group ID, their symbolic representations are T for sticky bit, S for set UID or set GID bit. So if you wanted to set one of those values, you can do that. But I think a better way to kind of set those values, the symbolic, special symbolic values, special values, is to use octal mode. And octal mode is very, very simple once you get it down. It's really dead easy to think about. Octal mode is using the octal values of those permissions and providing for each group, each set, the octal value. So you sum up the octal values of each individual permission for that group. It's going to be a value of 0 to 7. So read permission equals 4, write permission equals 2, and execute permission equals 1. So if you look at that, and read the values octally, so you have the leftmost of the three, read, write, and execute is read. Write and execute, the first one all the way to the right, execute, is either 1 or 0. The middle one, write, is a value of 2 or 0. And then the third one, read, is a value of 4 or 0. So remember that, counting octally, 1 or 0, 2 or 0, 4 or 0. You look at those values, read, write, and execute, it's either going to be one of those three values or zero. So you add them up. So if you had all three permissions, read, write, and execute, that would be read, which equals 4, plus write, which equals 2, so that's 4 plus 2, plus execute, which equals 1, so that's 4 plus 2 plus 1 equals 7. That gives you the full value of read, write, execute, 7. If you just had read and execute, that's read, which equals 4, write, which is not set, which equals 0, and execute, x, which equals 1, so that's 4 plus 0 plus 1, which equals 5. If you add read and write, but not execute, that's read, which equals 4, write, which equals 2, and x cubed, which equals 0. So 4 plus 2 plus 0 equals 6. So that gives you a value of 6. Now you specify one of the octal value for each of the owning user, owning group, and owning or everyone else. So unlike the symbolic mode, where you can specify either everyone or one or two people and switch it like that, in octal mode, you're going to specify the full list of permissions for everybody. So if you wanted to give the owning user all permissions, the owning group read and execute, and everyone else just read, those values would be chmod 7 for all permissions, and then 5 for read and execute on the owning group, and then 4, which is just read on everyone else. So once you get the octal representation down, it's pretty darn easy to set the octal values right away. Those three special permissions each have an octal value too. That sticky bit, which is primarily put on directories, like I said, is 1. The octal value of that is 1. The group set UID bit, octal value, is 2. And the user set UID bit, octal value is 4. And those occupy the leftmost bit. So if you're counting from right to left, an octal that's column 1 is for everyone, column 2 is for the owning group, column 3 is for the owning user, and the fourth column is for those special permissions. Now, that fourth column is optional if you're not setting a special permission. If you're not setting a special permission, the value is 0, so you can either put 0 or you can leave it empty. Now that's important to realize, okay? Why can you leave it empty? And it just ignore it. It sets it to 0, those values to 0. Understand that that applies for the whole thing, all right? Now when I said that you need to specify the octal values for UGO, that's very important. Because if you don't, okay, it starts to apply those values to the rightmost bit, so the first bit, first group. And then it moves forward. So if you were to only specify chmod 7 some file, what that sets the permissions to is it sets 7 read, write, and execute permission to everyone. All right. So the owning user doesn't have any permissions, the owning group doesn't have any permissions, but everyone has read, write access. It's equivalent to saying chmod 007 on that file. And if you did like 2 and 7, you would get the same thing. You would get owning user, no permissions. Owning group has write permissions. Everyone else read, write, execute. That would be the equivalent of saying chmod 027. So be aware of that. You need to at least specify for those three groups, UGO. Special bit, the fourth one, is optional. So that's it. That's basically permissions in a nutshell. Very simple. There are a few flags that you can use in conjunction with the chmod command. Probably one of the most useful ones is the dash capital R, or dash dash recursive, which will set those permissions on all files and directories and in subdirectories underneath that directory or where you currently are. So be aware of that, that it will do that recursively. And a lot of times I've used that for certain things. If you do that at the root level, it will change your root file system permissions as long as you're the root person running it as root all the way. There's an option in there, a flag called dash dash preserve dash root, which will not operate recursively on the root directory. That's not set by default, okay? If you, as root, do chmod 666 slash root, you're going to change all the permissions in that root directory so everybody has read and write and no executable permissions on every single file. If you tried to do that with the dash dash preserve dash root, it would prevent you from doing it. I don't recommend messing around with it anyhow. There is an option, dash dash no dash preserve dash root, which is the default, which doesn't preserve root. Alright, so just be aware of that. Default doesn't preserve root. When you issue the chmod command, you generally won't get an output, but you will get a response if there's an error. If you want to see what's being done, there is the dash dash verbose or dash V mode. Now, take take into consideration, chmod-v, unlike a lot of commands, doesn't give you the version. It goes into verbose mode. If you want to see version, it's dash dash version. But the dash v will tell you exactly what it is doing with all the files that it processes. So if it changes a permission, it tells you what it changes it to. If it doesn't change a permission, it tells you that it didn't change a permission. So that's verbose mode. If you only want to see what changes are made, there's the dash C or dash dash changes, which will only report any changes it makes. So if it doesn't change the permissions on a file or directory, it doesn't report it to you. But if it does, you'll see what it changed. It'll tell you what it did. And finally, there's the dash F or dash dash silent or dash dash quiet mode, which will suppress pretty much every single error message that could be thrown by chmod if you don't have the if it catches an error or you don't have permission to do something. So chmod file permissions, pretty basic. Thanks for listening. Remember, support Hacker Public Radio. If you haven't checked out the website for this write-up, do so. My name is Dan. I thank you very much and have a great day.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.